Good morning. It's Saturday, the 16th of May, 2026, and I've spent the last few hours reading my way through the week's tail end, a quieter day on the research side, a louder one on the infrastructure and policy side, with a single trading floor doing the loudest talking of all. Before I get into the four pieces I want to walk you through today, let me zoom out and tell you the story the week told. This was a week dominated by enterprise platform play, infrastructure economics, and the quiet maturing of agentic deployment from demo to production. Three threads ran through it. The first thread was inference economics, the realization that the bottleneck for the next phase of AI rollouts is not how big we can train a model, but how cheaply and quickly we can serve one. That thread started on Monday with discussions of the DeepSeek V4 line and how its pricing pressures the entire frontier API market. It widened mid-week as artificial analysis published updated leaderboard numbers showing Cerebrus-class hardware running open-weight models at 260 output tokens per second, compared to 33 for the same model class on traditional GPU stacks, and it culminated on Friday with the largest AI hardware initial public offering of the cycle so far, which I'll get to as the first segment today. The second thread was enterprise distribution. Monday opened with Anthropic announcing two enormous partnerships on the same day, a $200 million global health and education collaboration with the Gates Foundation, and a strategic alliance with PricewaterhouseCoopers that puts Claude on the desks of hundreds of thousands of consultants and stands up a new finance-focused PwC business unit explicitly anchored on Claude. Both stories sized the enterprise opportunity in ways that turned the platform conversation away from chat window benchmarks and toward how AI changes the operating models of large incumbents. The third thread was interpretability and reliability. The slow burn research story that's been quietly threading through every week this year, Anthropic's Transformer Circuits team published the Natural Language Autoencoder paper that translates Claude's internal activations into unsupervised English explanations with a companion visualization tool called HeadVisual for attention heads. Microsoft Research separately kept pushing on the long horizon delegation problem, the observation that strong benchmark models silently corrupt documents when asked to operate over long sessions, and published a clarifying note today that I'll talk about in segment three. The connecting tissue. The field is starting to ask hard questions about whether the gap between benchmark performance and real-world deployment is closing, or whether it's widening as we push agents into longer horizon work. The week didn't answer the question. It made the question harder to ignore. On the defense side, the Pentagon's low-cost containerized missiles program, which I'll spend the second segment on, landed Wednesday and represents the largest single autonomous weapons procurement award since the Replicator Initiative. Around it, a half dozen Defense Scoop and Defense One pieces all pulled at the same thread, that the cost per effect of a strike weapon is now dominated by guidance and autonomy rather than airframe and motor, and that legacy procurement architectures are struggling to keep up. On the regulatory side, three lawfare pieces, the AI regulation knife fight, don't count on courts to rein in unregulated AI, and the scaling laws conversation with Sean Perryman, converged on the diagnosis that federal preemption hasn't resolved the state-level AI rule, fragmentation, and that judicial review is unlikely to be the venue that disciplines deployment. And as a bookend, the WHO published its 2026 Global Health Statistics Report, showing the world is off track on virtually every Sustainable Development Goal health target, which lands directly back on the Anthropic and Gates Foundation work from Monday. A reminder that the gap between AI pilot announcements and population-level outcomes is still wide. Now, with that arc in mind, here are the four pieces I came across overnight that pick up exactly those threads. First up, Cerebrus closed its first trading day at $280 a share, putting the company at a $60 billion market capitalization and minting the largest AI hardware initial public offering of the cycle so far. The Latent Space AI News Edition framed the listing as a leading indicator for what it called the inference inflection. The multi-quarter shift in capital expenditure from training clusters toward dedicated inference systems. The technical story underneath is the wafer-scale architecture Cerebrus has been telling for half a decade, only now with revenue and a public balance sheet behind it. The CS3 system replaces the traditional pattern of stitching together thousands of small dies over PCIe or NVMe link with a single 46,000 square millimeter wafer carrying 900,000 cores and 44 gigabytes of on-wafer static RAM at roughly 21 petabytes per second of bandwidth. For inference workloads where weight reuse and key-value cache traffic dominate, this collapses what would otherwise be tens or hundreds of GPU to GPU hops per token onto silicon. Cerebras's published numbers on Llama 3.1 at 405 billion parameters and Qwen 3 at 235 billion parameters claim 5 to 10 times higher output tokens per second than the best GPU stacks at comparable cost. And that is the operational metric serving providers actually pay for. The market reaction lands inside a broader rotation. NVIDIA, AMD, the Sambanova mergers earlier this year, the $20 billion NVIDIA executive hiring of Grok 6 months ago, and now Cerebras together describe an inference market institutional investors have decided is structurally large enough to support multiple architectures rather than collapse to a single CUDA monopoly. Fit the decade of Cerebras chart making the rounds traces the company from its 2015 founding through the 2019 first wafer, the long stretch where its order book was effectively limited to national labs and Mubadala-funded supercomputer builds, and the inflection in 2024 when OpenAI, Meta, and a half dozen sovereign AI customers began locking in multi-gigawatt commitments. What I want to watch from here is whether the IPO proceeds, gets steered toward a North American fab build to reduce TSMC concentration risk. How much of the OpenAI volume Cerebras can actually fulfill against the existing GB300 and MI355X commitments those same customers already signed, and whether the inference tokens per dollar curve the wafer architecture promises translates to publicly verifiable artificial analysis price and speed numbers once the post-IPO disclosure cadence kicks in. The DeepSeek V4 Pro line on artificial analysis sits at 33 output tokens per second versus 260 for the GPT-OSS 120 billion model on Cerebras class hardware. That is the kind of gap that determines whether the inference inflection becomes a category fact rather than a quarter's story. Moving on to the second story, the Defense Department announced a batch of agreements on Wednesday aimed at procuring at least 10,000 inexpensive cruise missiles within 3 years under the new low-cost containerized missiles program. Anduril, CoAspire, Leidos, and Zone 5 technologies will deliver test missiles for an experimentation and assessment campaign starting in June, with firm fixed unit cost production awards expected in 2027. The Defense Department's release frames the program as the first large-scale procurement built around the autonomy stack that ran the Replicator drone push under the Chief Digital and AI Office and the Defense Innovation Unit. Same emphasis on rapid iteration, software-defined seekers, and commercial supply chain economics, rather than legacy ITAR-restricted contractor primes. The technical thesis is that the cost per effect of a strike weapon is now dominated by guidance and autonomy rather than airframe and motor. Containerized launch, palletized launchers that drop into standard ISO containers or fly on existing transport aircraft, uncouples the missile from a custom platform, which is why Anduril's Barracuda family and Zone 5's Rusty Dagger derivatives are the obvious vehicles. CoAspire and Leidos bring more conventional designs but compete on unit cost. The interesting piece is the seeker and mission planning loop. All four primes are advertising onboard target classification and route adaptation, built on the same vision language model and reinforcement learning policies the broader Replicator portfolio is standardized around. Which means this contract is effectively a procurement vehicle for fielding agentic autonomy at scale rather than just buying missiles. Acting Chief Digital and AI Officer Andrew Mapes has been pushing the Agent Network pace-setting project as the equivalent backbone for the command and control side of this picture. What sets the program apart from prior cheap missile efforts is the contractual structure. Firm fixed material unit costs included upfront mean the four vendors are competing on production economics, not just demonstration capability, analogous to how the consumer electronics supply chain gets driven down a learning curve. Industry reporting suggests target unit cost is in the low six figures against legacy Tomahawk-class munitions at $1.5 to $2 million and up. If the program clears its experimentation gates and starts buying in 2027, it would be the largest production run of any cruise missile class since the Cold War. The caveats are real. The Pentagon's track record on rapid acquisition is mixed. The experimentation campaign has not been open to outside red teaming on the autonomy stack, and congressional reaction has split along the same lines as previous replicator hearings, with the House Armed Services Committee enthusiastic and the Senate Armed Services Committee skeptical of the autonomy claims absent third-party evaluation. For an AI digest, the program is worth tracking because the cumulative volume embeds a real-world test of whether agentic policy networks trained on synthetic and simulated data actually transfer to lethal effect deployment at the cost points the Defense Department is betting on. Third up, OpenAI rolled out a personal finance experience inside ChatGPT on Thursday that lets users connect bank, brokerage, and credit card accounts and produces a dashboard of portfolio performance, spending breakdowns, recurring subscriptions, and upcoming payments. The feature is being framed as a step beyond the read-only finance search that ships with the agent application programming interface. Once accounts are linked, ChatGPT can summarize cash flow, project balances, surface unused subscriptions, and answer free-form questions like, "Am I on track for my tax bill?" over the connected data rather than hypothetical examples. The connectors run through Plaid for U.S. banks and a parallel rail for brokerage account aggregation. This is the first time OpenAI has made personally identifying financial data a first-class context surface in a consumer product. The architecture they describe is a sidecar that periodically pulls transactions, normalizes them through a categorization model, and stores them encrypted in the user's ChatGPT context with no training data carryover. Tool calls into the dashboard are routed through OpenAI's model context protocol-compatible function layer, which means third-party finance applications will be able to extend the picture. Wealthfront, Robinhood, and a handful of payroll data providers are listed as launch partners. The deployment lands directly on Perplexity's computer for professional finance and computer as personal chief financial officer product line, and on Anthropic's PwC-anchored office of the chief financial officer push reported last week. Three frontier labs are now in head-to-head competition on the financial agent surface. The technical interest is mostly on the safety and reliability side. OpenAI's release notes describe a hard-coded, read-only mode at launch. The agent can describe transactions and forecast balances, but cannot initiate transfers, place trades, or modify accounts. That mirrors the rollout discipline Microsoft has used for its AI delegation work on long-horizon tasks. In fact, on the same day as this launch, Microsoft Research published a follow-up to the paper, "Large Language Models Corrupt Your Documents When You Delegate," clarifying what their controlled evaluation methodology does and doesn't claim. The thesis is unchanged. When a large language model agent is delegated edit authority over a long multi-section document and asked to perform a focus change, the failure mode is not a hallucination of new content, but accumulating silent corruption of adjacent passages. The connection to OpenAI's read-only finance launch is direct. Both are bets that the long-horizon reliability gap matters enough that you ship the bounded, observable product first and earn the right to autonomous action authority later. OpenAI's roadmap signals a paid trade execution tier later this year, which is when the more interesting evaluation questions begin: how the model handles ambiguous instructions over multi-leg trades, how it reasons under, quote, latency, and whether the long-horizon reliability gap will close enough to make autonomous order entry tolerable. For the broader frontier language model market, the announcement matters less as a model release than as a distribution event. ChatGPT's reported 700 million weekly active users dwarfs every competitor's footprint on the consumer side, And finance is one of the few categories where the ceiling on willingness to pay is high enough to justify the cost of running frontier-class inference on personal context. And for our fourth and final story today, Eric Jang and Dwarkesh Patel spent a long episode reconstructing AlphaGo from first principles, Monte Carlo tree search, the policy and value networks, self-play, and using it as the cleanest worked example available of the three primitives of intelligence. The field is still trying to compose search, learning from experience, and self-play. Jang's argument is that AlphaGo 2017 vintage remains the most pedagogically honest demonstration of those primitives, precisely because the action space is bounded, the reward signal is unambiguous, and the system's behavior is interpretable in a way later frontier systems aren't. The interesting bridge to current work is the credit assignment contrast Yang draws between Monte Carlo tree search and naive policy gradient reinforcement learning over language model trajectories. In AlphaGo, the tree search produces a strictly better action at every move, which gives the policy network a high-quality supervised target at every step rather than asking it to figure out which of the 100,000-plus tokens in a long rollout actually contributed to the eventual reward. Proximal policy optimization style reinforcement learning from human feedback over language tokens has the inverse problem. The reward signal is delayed and global. The trajectory is long, and the model has to do the inference about which intermediate decisions mattered. Yang's claim is that the human learning analog is much closer to the Monte Carlo tree search pattern. We get rich local feedback during a problem-solving session, not a single binary at the end, and that the next round of reinforcement learning for language models progress will come from building search structures over reasoning traces that produce per-step targets, the way tree search does for board positions. That framing is consistent with what OpenAI, DeepMind, and Anthropic have been signaling about reasoning model post-training over the past year, including verifier-guided exploration, tree of thought as a training signal, and process reward models. The other thread worth flagging is Jang's report from kickstarting an auto-research loop on the project itself. He talks through which parts of AI research current language models can already automate well. Implementing experiments, sweeping hyperparameters, writing the boring scaffolding, and which they still fail at. Picking the right next question, escaping research dead ends, and recognizing when an entire line of inquiry should be abandoned. The framing matters for the recurring intelligence explosion debate. If the bottleneck is in research taste rather than research throughput, then automating only the throughput layer produces a faster treadmill, but not the discontinuous capability gain that the more aggressive scenarios assume. It also lines up with the Microsoft research delegation work I mentioned a moment ago. Strong benchmark models corrupting documents under long horizon delegated workflows is the symptom of the same underlying gap. The episode is worth watching on YouTube for the chalkboard work. The conversation around the value network architecture and the self-play data generation in particular lands better with the visual. Pulling back, the week's four threads, inference economics, enterprise distribution, autonomy procurement, and the slow burn reliability problem, are all visible in the four stories I just walked you through. The Cerebrus initial public offering is the inference economics story landing on a trading floor. The Pentagon's containerized missile program is the autonomy procurement story written in real money. OpenAI's personal finance launch is the enterprise distribution story crossing into consumer scale with the same read-only first discipline Microsoft Research is arguing for. And the Eric Jang and Dwarkesh conversation is the closest thing to a unifying technical frame for why all of this is happening at once. The field is trying to compose search and learning into systems that can take on longer horizons and harder credit assignment problems. And the next 12 months of progress will be measured in how much of that composition shows up in shipping products rather than in benchmark numbers. The full digest at wolfdigest.com has the rest of the day's reading, 33 items in total, including a cluster of defense scoop and C4ISRNET pieces on the post-LCCM autonomy roadmap, and an MIT Technology Review feature on how Chinese short drama studios have industrialized end-to-end generative video pipelines. Until then, keep reading papers, stay curious, and I'll see you Monday.